When it comes to missions, there's always a starting point. And I believe the vehicle of missions is the local church. Ordained, orchestrated, put together. If you don't know that, see me, we'll go through it. You know, in the book of Acts, you know, in Philippians, Ephesians, we'll go through the whole thing. I had one knuckleheaded college student once told me he could not see faith promise in the Bible or grace giving in the Bible. About 3 minutes later, I had him roasted. And what I'm going to show you today is in the Bible. And I want to encourage you. You're missions church, you get it. But I want to encourage, because generation after generation, sometimes you lose that focus. So it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, join me please there with that. The Bible says, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? / evangelist, / missionary, / bus captain, / pastor. Let's go right on down the list, all right? The Bible says in verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Man, that's missions. That's church plan. That is this church. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Elias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into the earth. Now get that. Into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. I don't think I'll do it this time. I got a sermon called The Sound of Missions. I use this as a jump ball. It's a beautiful sound. I'm going to rewind the tape in just a moment. As a church, I believe God blesses churches, blesses ministries, because there's other reasons, but because of the missions emphasis that they have. And I can't put it in English, but he does that. And I want you to understand that in verse 15 of my text here, how shall they preach except they be sent? They got to come out of that local church. God calls them, but the church sends them. They take care of that. God loves those people that don't love him. You know, God, it's hard sometimes to watch the news, is it not? And I pretty much give up on it because it's so ugly. And I realize God loves every one of those ugly people that is against him. It's amazing stuff. And at the end of the day, I do believe God's not going to come right quick right now, because he's opened that gate for us that we're in that time where we can win many souls to Christ. And we can keep the ministry going, and it's still the time, I can say to us, the Gentiles, that still have a ministry for God. And then it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I've got 7 messages I've been working this last month on just John 3:16. I'm going to 2 camps this summer. Each word is a message, basically. He so loved the world. I'm telling you that he gave his only begotten Son. For Dan DeLong. I know pastor's name. That's it in here. If his brother's here, I know his name, Bob. That's it. All right. But the rest of you, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, whoa. Man, you got that name written down, don't you? You don't ever get that name written down unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Great Commission came out, Matthew 28, preach and teach the gospel, baptizing them, and whatsoever I've commanded you. And I'm telling you, that is local church. That is church planning. And I want to get right down to it, is this. You have a missions emphasis this week. Here's my question. This month, I'm sorry. It's one thing to have a missions month, but how do you get people to participate in that? And I want you, as an individual in this church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you be the cause that this church not only has a missions, keeps a missions, but grows in missions. I'm just trying to encourage you here. Always be the cause of that. Do not be the hindrance of it. You know, it's not how much money you have or don't have. It's not how much prayer life you have or don't have. It's all of that. And when I read this article on that medical building in Omaha, Nebraska, now I looked at those 10 things. It was like getting everybody in that building on board to be the cause. And it's not Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It does not want to be a spectator church. You want to be a participating church. You do want to be the cause, not with a speeding ticket. You want to be the cause if things are done right. And I want you to understand that we want to be that cause. And what we want to do today is look at three thoughts about this. And I want you to understand three simple questions I'm going to ask. I'm not being, belligerent when I ask this question. I'm not being too simple. I'm not taking for granted that you're not intelligent, because you are. All right. I know that, because all you got speeding tickets and you paid the bill for checkout. Amen. Now, look at this first question. Here it is. Do you believe in the power of the gospel? And every one of you is going to say yes. Bible says in verse 13, look with me, please, in my text, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know about you. How many remember the day you got saved? I got saved August 15th on a Tuesday night. Wednesday night. Hal Webb was preaching. Thurman Babcock was leading the music. And the title of the message was "The Russians Are Coming and the Russians Are Coming." We thought they were in 1969. They can't get through Ukraine. Now here's my point. Scared to death. And he preached, judgment, hell. I was raised in a Christian home. All right. But before I got there, I'd go to church every Sunday morning, just like you kids. I'd sit in the back, little old Kayla's Independent Baptist Church. My mom was a Sunday school. Dad bought the church for her in 1960, when I was 8 years old. It was an abandoned Methodist church. Kayla's Methodist Church. It was abandoned. And so he paid the back taxes, give it to her. Her and her sister had a Sunday school in there for 7 years before they could get a preacher. And it was a Klan church. Everybody's related. And boy, I was going through that church. I'd hear the gospel from time to time, but I wasn't saved. Mom knew that, all right? But she believed in the power of the gospel. And she had a Christian friend. His name was Jim Beaver. He owned the gas station about 20 miles from the house. And him and Mom and Dad were buddies and friends. And so Mom commissioned him. She deputized him to be her private missionary. And she says, "Dan, there's a flat tire on the tractor." The front right-hand side of the tractor tire, was the air went out of it. She told me years later that she let the air out of it. You know, but she said, I didn't lie to you. It was flat. I didn't tell you how it got flat. It was none of your business, all right? She'd already made the phone call to him a few days earlier and said, "Danny's going to bring a flat tire over, and I'm going to give you $20 or $10 to fix it. And I'm going to send you my favorite blueberry pie, because I'm going to commission you to witness to him." So I, next day or a couple days later, I got that flat tire and I drove that old 67 Chevy over there and laid the tire in his garage. And for the next 45 minutes to an hour, he acted like he was fixing that thing. Witnessing to me the whole time, giving me the plan of salvation. I listened to him, and it sounded good. And he said, "Danny, would you like to ask Jesus in your heart today?" "No, I got to get back and get that tire on there. And here's the pie for Mom and the money to fix that tire." I drove back to the house. Boy, conviction started to set in. He wasn't wrong, you know, and I was just 16 years old, going to be 17, and I'd been to church my whole life. Maybe my goodness will get me into heaven. Good night. I was vile, chiefest of sinners, as Paul says. And I never robbed a bank. Stole a couple of chickens. That's about as far as it went. I've got speeding tickets and defensive driving school. That's after I got saved. But before I got saved, I knew I wasn't saved. My mom, she believed in the power of the gospel, what it done for her, what it did for my dad. You know, basically, she was like that local church, and she had an angst in her, and she wanted me to get saved. I was a twin. No, I was the second to show up. Back in 1952, we didn't know we were having twins till we had them. And she was praying for a preacher, and I was her preacher. Turned out being her favorite, amen. I want you to listen carefully. Do you believe in the power of the gospel? The answer is yes. You know, I didn't get saved when Jim Beaver gave me that plan of salvation. But 2 weeks later, when Hal Webb was preaching that message, Jim Beaver's sitting in the camp cookhouse. He's the camp cook for the week. And after that evening service, I did not go forward at the invitation. I went to my cabin. An hour and a half later, 11 o'clock, 11:30, a biggest storm, like tornadoes ripping through southern part of Ohio. I mean, the camp's on edge. All the lights go out. The roofs are shaking. I am scared to death. I jump off that third bunk. I run up from here to the middle of that parking lot across the little street there at that camp. Jim Beaver sitting in the kitchen with a lantern on, drinking a cup of coffee. Dan, what do you want? I need to find Jesus. Great. Sit down there. You know what? He led me to Christ. Tap this story off. Is 3 years ago, I went to see him at the nursing home here at Ohio. 90 plus years old. Has Alzheimer's. Don't know what day of the week it is, but I explained to him what took place. You're the Blueberry Boy, Danny. I want you to understand. God can save you. Amen. Number two, second question. Do you believe everybody needs to hear the gospel? Yes, you say that. All right. Gospeling's really slowed down, preacher, around this country. I go out to preach. Very few churches anymore have visitation. Bus ministries is a thing of the past. Gospel Light Baptist Church still run about 25 buses. You go there all the time. That thing went from when I was there about, we'd have 2,300, 2,400 a Sunday, high day of 4,500, averaging about 3,000 in the church. It's went down, but they're still running. 9 churches had bus ministries, and I was there 25 years ago, don't have it. It's slowing down. I asked this question, do you believe everybody needs to hear the gospel? I do. Here's what the Bible says. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That word preacher involves preaching and teaching. It involves evangelism. I use the word missions. They cannot hear the gospel, and God does want all to hear the gospel. God has chosen the church here, the local church, to get the gospel out. Now, I believe in medical missions, well-digging missions, hog-and-dog and frontal dental missions. All these missions, all these sub-things are over here. But the last time what I read about the Macedonian call, the last time I read this here, it is to preach and teach the gospel, the good news. All that other stuff comes later. People kind of light into me a little bit when I say that medical missions is not the number one thing. Singing missions is not the number one thing. Going to Bible college is not the number one thing on missions, all right? What is it? Winning people to Christ. Discipleship. Are you ready for this? Baptize those. Now, in Australia, we're a little bit different than New Guinea, preacher. In America, we get saved Sunday morning. We usually baptize Sunday night. Out in those cultures, they want to make sure you know why you believe, what you believe, and you're going to keep believing that. Amen? We have discipleship after salvation, baptism right in the middle of that, church membership, and repeat. Tonight you'll see a video. There's 5 independent Baptist churches. We started one back in 1995. Now there's 7 in the Fort Worth area. At over 4,752 churches yesterday. 37 trusted Christ. All these boys, all these pastors were in that one church. We got one back in 1995. You supported us. I want you to understand that I believe in the power of the gospel. And I believe everybody needs to hear the gospel. I cannot reach everybody. But God knows you can reach everybody through that local church. Amen. Right. I want to give you this thought for just a moment. When Paul had that vision, Paul understood that God wanted him to go to the Gentiles. Amen. And I think that all of us in here are Gentiles. And I think we know Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. We can back check. All the way back to the great apostle. Because he believed when God was done with him, that all the Gentiles needed to hear the gospel. Isn't that great stuff?
Yes, sir.
Now listen carefully. I want you to understand this. That Paul's Macedonian call was to reach the Gentiles. Now, your missions program here, you reach all kinds of countries. I went through some of the prayer letters this morning. Oh, the census, we all got approved at the same time. And you understand, you got missions in Africa. Yeah, you got those Thompson boys down in Ecuador. They're good. I had them in Bible college. And you got guys all over the place, all right? So you've got a worldwide ministry. And if I'm right, the sun never sets on your missionaries. Somewhere, the one's always in the sun, always during the day. What amazing ministry. I want you to understand, why do you do what you do? Because everybody needs to hear the gospel. Not everybody will take the gospel. Say this word with me, Kuru. It's ready? Oh, K-U? Ku-R-U. Kuru. That's my language. Be able to talk pizza. Click, click. Kuru is another term for mad cow disease. How many know what that is? My friend Bob Keller, another pastor I had, not that big. Once you get Kuru, you have about, that's a P&G term, about 11 to 12 months. The enzymes and the infection in your body eat your brain away. Kuru has gotten, that's an illustration I use, it's called man-eaters, two man-eaters. In New Guinea, they used to have headhunting. Sandline incident that took place when I was there, my first 3 or 4 years there, there was a Bougainville rebellion, and a bunch of mercenaries was hired by the PNG government to put down a rebellion on Bougainville, which is full of gold, and it belonged to PNG, and so everybody's over there fighting and stuff, and one of the captains of the military trained by the Marine Corps here in the States is Captain Alan Pena of the Royal PNG military. He was a deacon in my church. And he said, Pastor Dan, I need you to go with me. Remember that incident we had about a year ago? Yeah, well, I made all my soldiers, I had 144 under me, sign a paper they would not be involved in Kuru or man-eating. What these villages would do and these battles would do, they would kill somebody. We can't do it here in this world. I want you to understand that most of the world is not like the U.S. It's not very disorganized. They got shade tree law. And they have revenge law. They just, the Burundi yesterday dump was just emptied. It was on the great news. A lady was killed there last week, and the government went in and just took away 5,000 people's housing and everything, and they all had to leave. All right. It's a different world. But Alan had these men sign a paper that they would be no part of this. He said it was wrong, didn't want to do it. Two of the boys did not listen to him. They did what they wanted to do. They knew what they were not supposed to do. They knew what they were supposed to do, but they wasn't going to listen. They killed one of the enemy, and for no better sake to say this, they ate him in front of a village. The village go wild. Battle ensued. Many were killed. They kind of laughed and snickered it all, but 11 months went by. Both men got really sick. Both men are in an asylum there at the military, Fort Moresby. Alan said, well, can you come and witness to these two boys? They need to hear the gospel. One was 21, one was 22. So the next day I said, I'll do that. And I went in there, and they don't teach someone like this in Bible colleges. On this side was one, on this side was the other. Tethered to the bed, tethered to the wall, they could not touch me. Both men were given an injection at the same time by the same doctor, just a minute apart. They're screaming and the yelling and scratching. Their bodies was just a big scab. Their minds will be loosened for about 10 minutes. And then they'll go back to that crazy world of pain again. They gave them the shot. They both laid there. Both could understand English. I gave them both the plan of salvation. Because I believe both of them needed to hear Jesus Christ. Both had committed murder. Both had disobeyed. Both had eaten people. Both still needed to hear about Jesus Christ. Pretty tough stuff, huh? I teach a lesson. Many colleges, things old missionaries don't tell young people until they get. And what you're going to see and sense and have things. Do you know what? There's power in that gospel. And every person
personally needs to hear the gospel. How shall they hear unless they be sent? God sends them. We need to get them there. We take these two boys, I give them the plan of salvation. I also use this in a sermon called Choices Have Consequences. One on my right hand said, Pastor Dan, I want to trust Christ as my personal Savior. This one over here said, Muskie. That's their term for no way. Muskie, stop. I said, don't you want? I said, stop. He kind of put me in my place. If I want to die without Jesus, I'll die without Jesus. And that is none of your business. Whoa. As a missionary from this church, should I give him the gospel? Or should I just walk away? This one got saved. This one did not. Within 72 hours, both of them then died. Both went out into eternity. I buried them both. Side by side, families there. This one went to heaven. This one didn't. But that was his choice. You know, neither one of those young men had heard the gospel before until I gave it to them. That one took it, and the other one didn't. Number one, do you believe in the power of the gospel? Number two, do you believe all people need to hear the gospel? Here's my third question and last, that is this. Do you believe that God wants to enable others to go, to give the gospel? Join me, please, in verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? Isn't that great stuff? Now beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's great stuff. See, God's going to call some of you into missions or into ministry. God's going to pull you into this. God's going to have you in a church like this. He's going to have you with a pastor like this. And it said you can't go unless you're sent. Simple as this. God's going to call you into ministry. My twin brother never got called into ministry. Yet he got saved the same night I did. He went to Bible college back in Bob Jones in the days with me. And he took our farm and I took the ministry and he worked for Halliburton Construction. And I'm poor as Job's turkey, and he's making money, but I'm serving God. So is he. It's all good. I'm just saying, I'm a twin, but God has different journeys for all of us. But this one last thought is this. Do you believe that God wants to enable others to go? And I believe he does. He calls us. He works on us. This scripture right here says he'll put it all together. You know, and I want you to be the cause. Something's great coming down the track. August 15th or 14th, 1969, I had been around a church like this, but I had never gotten saved. Lord, I know, where's New Guinea? I didn't know where it's on the map. Why do I need to get back? I knew nothing. You know what? When I got saved, I got baptized. 13 months later, I went to Bible college. I have never been the same. God changed me. So every time I see young people and youth, I tell them this following acronym. L-O-R-D is in charge. Listen, obey, respond, and do God's will for your life. But God don't call us all into the ministry or missions. God works on all of us. You know, I want you, when you get into this, this is the key. I want to be positive here when I say this. You cannot have any reservations about God calling you to ministry. When Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, he wasn't making fun of the dead people. He knew what the excuses were going to be. Oh, I'll go to missions when my mom and dad die and I get the inheritance. Then I get the faith. And I want you to understand, most people do not go in ministry today. One thing. What if? Man, trust God, amen. You are a walking example. I am an older walking example of somebody. Just trust God. Yeah, but we've had our moments. I've had my days. Man, wouldn't I? Wow. I'd like to be. Paul says, I covet no man's silver and gold. Good night. I like that. That suit you got on. Shorter size. I'm just saying. I'm driving a Volkswagen out there. Good night. It's like driving a truck. Very good. Who said that? Huh? We all got our wonders in us. You know? You better not have any reserves about God touching you. Because if He saves you, He grows you, He brings you along, He gets you to the place where He wants you to be something. No reserves. Number two, don't retreat on that decision that you've made. Dealt with a pastor a month ago. Dealt with a pastor 2 weeks ago. Dealt with a pastor Friday. That has thrown their ministries out the window. These are pastors. Just one quit. One got into sin. One said, I don't want this anymore. They just quit. All of them are in their 50s. I asked all three of them, what changed? Retreated. Then start out there. Start right in here. That's where that devil comes. I do walk on water. I don't have a halo, and neither do I have feathers in my wings. But I've learned one thing over the years. The best thing is this. You need to get right. You need to stay right. And when you're being right, when that decision comes, you'll do right. Man, you cannot retreat from decisions you've made for God. And at the end of it, there'll be no regrets. He was a missionary, multimillionaire. You know, Elsie the cow. It's in the Midwest, out of the Chicago area. Dairy. The Borden family, right? They're still in business. These people are all dead. But this William Borden was a millionaire. His dad wanted to give him the company. For his senior year in graduation high school, his dad gave him a trip around the world. And with him, he hired two Moody Bible Institute students to be a chaperone. So they went around the world being missionaries, kids and students, and training for the ministry. They did all things mission. And that boy came back. He was right with God. He's going to be a missionary. His dad wanted to give him the company, and he wouldn't take it. Long story short, he went, I think, Princeton. And top of the class, some people say, I don't know, preacher, you may have the number. He gave over $100,000 to ministry his 4 years while he was there. Started the first Bible study while he was there. Was turning that university around, and God called him into missions. And he just walked away from that company. And God had called him to the Mongolian people, the mountains of China. But he needed to stop by Egypt to learn the language of the Mongolian people. So he went there, an older missionary, probably about my age, was there serving in Egypt and teaching the language. And anyway, Black Plague was going through that part of the world. He got a hold of that old missionary, and the young missionary took care of him. Bill Warden held on to him, doctored him, thought he'd get him back to health, but he died. Buried him about a week later, Borden come down with the disease. His mom and sister's in Europe, and they're getting on a train to come south to get him to doctors to save his life. As they're on their way there, he dies. Entombing the body, putting it together in a coffin to get his things together. You look inside his Bible, there was a date. No reserves. No reservations about doing God's will for my life. And he had that written down at the date and time. When he turned his back on the dad's offer and the dad got after him and he went to a church service and made the decision to stay in missions, no retreats on this date, he signed his name. And at the end of this thing, as he's dying, about 6 days before he died, he same date, same page, back in the Bible. No regrets. I'm telling you, I got a 91-year-old mother-in-law in my home now. We're taking care of her. Talking to her yesterday, she said, you know, day and night, day's coming. We all have our time. She can't hardly walk. Heart struggles with a clear thought. She's dealt with cancer, had it taken out. Now, body's falling apart. She says, I won't be long for this one. Man, if I just done more when I hadn't. That's why I start teaching this message a few months ago. Be the cause, of doing it now, not then. When you get to the end of it, there'll be no reserves, no retreats, no regrets. L-O-R-D, listen, obey, respond. This is great stuff. And do what God puts in your heart to do. Basic thoughts. Do you believe in the power of the gospel? Do you believe everybody needs to hear the gospel? Boy, this is basic stuff to get right into missions.